Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man who's... that is the most grandpa hat I've ever seen in my life. That is the most grandpa hat. The only thing you're missing is the tassels.
Oh,
like
no.
On the brim,
right,
and
here,
then like
the braided thing right there.
You know, and then you need a pair of sunglasses that have the little strap that goes all the way around your head.
My dad has a pair of those as well too.
Yeah. You're going full old man today. Tillamook Cheese Factory hat. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to see it to believe it. Jack here is embracing
Josh,
his old age.
Josh, we got October baseball.
Yeah.
We got Reformation Month on deck.
Oh, yeah, we do, baby.
My Guardians are, by the time we have recorded this, my Guardians are in a do or die situation, game three.
Mm-hmm.
Your Mariners are living off witchcraft.
Dude.
And
whatever they put in Big Dumper's dumper is working, dude. I swear.
This is the worst nickname ever.
I mean, yeah, one look at him and you get it, though.
Yeah,
dude, a lot of baseball happening.
Yeah,
good stuff. Good stuff. And yeah, it's Reformation Month, Jack. It's like our Christmas season for the Reformatory. It's our favorite month.
Yeah.
October is here, which
is our early
Reformation
Advent
month.
Yeah.
It is. It's like a little, it's just a
little,
it's like
preview.
The holiday season. Yeah, it's starting early, man. So yeah, Reformation is here. We've got a brand new Reformation series, a 5-week series that we are starting today. I am so excited. I'm really looking forward to that. But Jack, we've got a lot to cover in this episode. We've got some business that we've got to handle here first, in that we have a couple new patrons that we have to shout out. We have to hallow their name through the halls of the podcast, and we're going to do that right now. We're shouting out two very special individuals that bequeath their $5 holla and have joined the ranks of the podluck. We are shouting out this very special episode, this first Reformation Day episode. I can't think of a better way to start off Reformation Month. Two patrons, Der Hitch. I don't know how to say that. It's Derhitsch. I want to be careful. I don't know how else to say it, but you know who you are, and you supported the Reformatory, so thank you so much. I don't know how else to pronounce that. I could keep trying, but I probably would just get into trouble trying to continue to pronounce that. But Derhitsch, I'm just gonna say Derhitsch. Thank you. thank you for joining the podluck. We greatly appreciate it. Your name has been hallowed.
Hallowed, sir.
Yes. Through the halls of the podcast. And one more. This one is much more. This individual has a much easier name to pronounce.
Here we go.
Manny.
Oh, Manny. Wow.
Dude,
wow.
Classic. Manny's a classic name.
Classic neighborhood name. Guy right there, Manny.
Dude, you know he is. Everyone knows Manny, and Manny is like a good dude.
Manny, I wanna believe that you're a mechanic somewhere.
I was literally just gonna say that. Like, Manny's the guy that everyone goes to fix their car. Like, Manny knows what he's doing, man. He knows what he's doing around a car. So Durhich and Manny, we thank both of you, excellent, excellent individuals, for joining the reformatory, bequeathing your $5 holla, and we hope that you enjoy all of the benefits thereunto that are now yours by rights. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear your name hallowed through the podcast, then it's you too can join the reformatory and hop in there and get some amazing exclusive content. $5 a month, that's all it costs. Jack, our vow has been fulfilled and their names have been hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Yes, hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. One more announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, if you click on the link in the description of this episode and go to our Amazon store, we have at this moment, in honor of Reformation Month, a special sale going on for our Reformation design t-shirts. They were selling them for $15.17. That's right, $15.17 over on the Amazon. We got some pretty sweet Reformation wear. We've got a classic Five Solas shirt that we designed.
Classic Pentagon War Department.
Right, exactly. Whatever you want to call it. Keeping people safe. Okay, but then there's my favorite: Reject the Papacy. Ooh. Both in t-shirt and sweatshirt, and it's an excellent design. So, in honor of Reformation Month, make sure to head on over to our Amazon store. Get yourself a Five Solas shirt or sweatshirt, or a Reject the Papacy shirt or sweatshirt, and celebrate with us not only Reformation Month, but # Reject the Papacy Month. It is both. So that is the announcements that we have for today. Jack, my man, it is time to hop into the Reformation Month festivities, and I can't think of a better way to do that than some Catholic cringe over on the Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's what the Catholic Church says. And we're going to hop in to our Instagrams this month. Jack, today I have some, in honor of Reformation Month, some excellent Catholic cringe. And we're going to start off with a very angry Catholic. He's very angry. Oh, very gosh. Angry.
Here we go.
He reminds me of the dad on actually, you know who this guy reminds me of? And as soon as the video pulls up, you're gonna know. You know the general in, I think it's Full Metal Jacket, where he's, "Show me your war face."
Oh, the
show
drill me your sergeant, war. Yeah. The
drill sergeant?
Arlie Ermey, dude. Yeah.
That's this dude.
Oh, it's boy.
If that guy was a Catholic priest, that's this guy. Let's pull it up.
For 1,500 years, everybody did the same thing. You're either a Jew or you a Catholic. Until Martin Luther gets in this game, nothing changed. We now got 40,000 faith, and don't tell me that they're all telling you the truth. I've already been half of them, so I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh,
there's more to this, but he's so angry.
So mad.
You can tell if you watch the video, he almost drops a bomb right in the middle. Like he goes, "Don't tell me that." He's so angry,
dude.
Martin, and here's the thing:
chill out, bro?
Can I? Yes, Father. Can I? Like, he just said, "I've already been half of them."
Okay, that's
okay. So why am I trusting that the one you're in now? Yeah, exactly. Like, if you've already been half of them, if that's true, why am I trusting that? Like, yeah. Like, why should I trust you now? you know what I'm saying?
Your discernment's like, a little bit on the low.
You have fluctuated. Like your religious allegiance has fluctuated more than Oprah's weight. Like, why in the world should I trust that all of a sudden now you have the discernment and now's where you need to be? So let's go ahead and finish this here.
And half of them. So I'm telling you, go to confession, get back in the church, learn the commandments. At the end of the day, only one thing matters. Did you or did you not make it? Did your family make it? Did your children make it? Did your spouse make it? Because if not, you're in hell for all eternity.
Fire and brimstone right there.
Well, I mean, there you
right
go.
There.
There you have it.
Right there. Let's me go to confession. Hey, you know, he's passionate. He's
Pope
passionate.
Gonna dope D.
Pope D's gonna dope D. Yeah. That's, you know. Hey,
is the next one Leo talking about his love for the White Sox? Because I'm just gonna crush that one.
No, it's not. No. This one's a little bit more. So this next one's interesting because it's the straw men that are thrown by young kid who looks like he's been Catholic all of 5 minutes. It's him explaining, Jack, why he left Protestantism. All right, here we go. Boy.
Left Protestantism and became Catholic, and here are three reasons why. Number one, Protestantism is mostly emotions. It's worship bands, motivational TED Talks, and past.
Okay, he shows Joel Osteen. Yeah, okay. So, okay. your sample size, my friend, is leaving some question of discernment here.
Your research is lacking. Okay.
Yeah, research is slightly lacking, but let's continue.
Talks and pastors telling you what they think the Bible means. It feels good for a moment, but feelings doesn't equal truth. Jesus didn't start a self-help seminar. He started a church. Number two, no sacraments. In Protestantism, baptism becomes a symbol. Communion becomes a snack. And confession disappears entirely. But
okay.
That's some fighting words right there.
Tell me,
that's some big fighting words.
Tell me you don't understand the biblical view of sacraments without telling me. The sacraments. Well, look, here's the thing. Let's be clear, right? There are some denominations of Christians that would view, like, the Lord's Supper purely as a remembrance, and there's no grace that's received from it, right?
Yeah.
We've covered that before.
Yeah.
That's why we're not, memorialists when it comes to the Lord's Supper, right? Because, yeah, like, I believe that doesn't encompass the truths that the Lord's Supper involves, right? It seems to me that the experience this kid has had in Protestantism was a mega church.
Oh, mega church, non-denominational.
Exactly. Like, just an absolute sample size, run of the mill, you know, dime a dozen mega church with flashing lights and no conviction, right?
Yeah.
Let's continue here.
But in scripture, baptism saves. The Eucharist is his flesh. No. And the apostle forgives sins. Without the sacraments, you're left with human efforts instead of divine grace.
So
here's what we'll talk about. These jokers using grace like it's they have a corner on grace here, for crying out
loud. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Catholicism still has the same sacraments the first Christians had because Jesus gave them the church. Number three, history. Jesus said that the gates of Hades will never prevail against the church. So ask yourself, what church is that? It can't be Protestantism. Those started in the 1500s with Luther and Calvin.
Age-old argument that somehow Protestantism started in the 1500s, that Martin Luther is the founder of Christian religion. It's lazy and it's uninformed. It's lazy argumentation.
Are we not going to talk about the Crusades against the proto-Protestants? We're not going to talk about John Huss getting executed by y'all. What? You, I mean, hey,
I don't know if we want to talk about that.
If he wants to fight like this, I can fight the same way, bro.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's round this off.
I could do this all day.
Let's round this off and we'll get into our up here.
And Calvin, it has to be in the same church that's been here since the apostles, gave you the Bible, the same church that's still here 2000 years later, the Catholic Church. So why?
Yes. No, it's not. That's good for that video. Yeah. So this Jack, I think, does a great job in highlighting the reason for this entire month, mm-hmm. right? Why we celebrate Reformation Month, the truths behind the Reformation, and why we wanted to do this particular series. So we have talked, you know, if you go back in the history of the Reformatory, every Reformation month we're covering some truths of the Reformation one way or another, right? Jack and I this year wanted to do something a little different. It is still covering the truths of the Reformation, but instead of just kind of going through either like the five solas or doing some you know biographies or something like that, which we've done in the past, what we wanted to do is a series on how the Reformation has affected different facets of our lives and how we see the effects of the Reformation in our lives today. So what we are covering today, and I'm extremely excited because all of those things that young man, I would say, passionately but ignorantly brings up are straw men arguments that the Reformation itself, the truth that came out of the Reformation, I would say take care of very, very clearly and very, very quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to talk about today is the Reformation's effect on culture. Right. There's a lot of talk, and we'll obviously get into this later, on the Reformation's effect, you know, on the church, on doctrine, on the individuals, right? Scripture, things like that, how the gospel was recovered through the Reformation. But not a lot of talk is given toward what did the Reformation actually do in the time that the Reformation began. What did it do for the culture and the people within that culture in the time where it happened, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people might not know the effects, the cultural, the societal effects that the Reformation had that we are still benefiting from in 2025 today. Mm-hmm. Right. So I've got my notes. Jack and I did some independent study from each other, and we're kind of bringing them in together on this episode. But Jack, I've got kind of four particular ways in which the Reformation affected culture. I have it affected art. Mm-hmm. It affected literature. It affected literacy, mm-hmm. and then it affected evangelism. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the four that I've got here that I did a little bit of reading of. I know you've got some as well, but I want to throw it over to you first, Jack. When we talk about the societal and cultural ways that we see the Reformation affected, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I want to kick it off with an interesting character who kind of starts the Reformation and what he proposes. So this is a guy named Lorenzo Valla. He is a Ciceronian. He's a humanist. He's a scholar. He knows Latin. He knows Greek. He knows Hebrew. He's very skilled at the languages. He in around the 1400s, like early to mid 1400s where he lived, like right before the Reformation, he looked at a document called the Donation of Constantine. This is a document that the Catholic Church used for the longest time to basically say, you know, it's written as if it was the last will and testament of Constantine the Emperor. Hmm. And in it says that the papacy is given reign over the western part of the Roman Empire. At that point, Constantine was in Constantinople in the east, where Istanbul is in Turkey. He moved the seat of power from Rome to Constantinople. And so he basically, in this document, says he's giving jurisdiction to the Western Empire with this document, and that the papacy owns the Western Empire at this point. Mm-hmm. Problem is, Lorenzo Valla looks at this document and says, this document was found in the 8th century. Lorenzo Valla, this is right before Islam actually starts taking over most of Europe and Africa and the Middle East as well, too. So Lorenzo Valla, so this document has been in place since the 8th century. It says that it's written in the 300s, right around when Constantine dies. Lorenzo Valla looks at this thing and says, this is a forgery. The way that the Latin is written in this document does not make any sense. It's basically like if we used the language of Gen Z and somehow we found, somebody said they found a speech by Abraham Lincoln, but it's written in the language of Gen Z, the slang of Gen Z, we would know that's a fake.
Sure.
This is what Lorenzo Valla did. He started this line of textual criticism and this line of what we would say in the Reformation of ad fontes. We're going back to the original sources to find the truth of what's going on here. This is what Martin Luther carries through in the Reformation when we talk about looking back to the original Hebrew and the Greek, not just the Vulgate, which the Vulgate was copied many, 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 many times. The only way Luther could start to, Luther kind of took Valla's way of decoding, and he actually took the commentary that Jerome, the translator of the Vulgate, he started looking at the commentary of the Vulgate, and then he started to make sense of scripture that way. So this is starting to kick us off into a way in where we start to understand how we interpret texts, which is very important. That, yeah, that last young man completely caricatured Protestants by saying we make up our own interpretations. No, we don't.
Right. No.
We go back to the sources. We go back to the original Greek and Hebrew. We go back to to ad fontes, the original sources, and we look at what's going on there with the original founts, so to say. This is what changes society and culture going forward. That culture is now not dictated by the Pope, not dictated by the clergy, but it's now starting to show that there is rot and actually understanding the underlying texts of what your foundation is built upon. And so that's kind of the first salvo in which culture starts to change, where we start to see this wanting of truth more, wanting of transparency more. So,
Right. And like what the Reformation did when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door and started that conversation, right? What's important to understand is that Martin Luther's intent was never to bring down the Catholic Church. He wanted to see reform in the Catholic Church.
Nor was he the first person to really say anything about the church to begin with either.
Exactly.
He wasn't necessarily, he wasn't really special in that sense either.
Yeah. It's just that's where the heat really started to turn up is there. Right. And what we see is not only the theological effects that happen from the Reformation, and that there is a great resurgence and a returning to the gospel truths of scripture. And we'll cover that in weeks to come. Right. But there was also a societal change and shift, because what you had in that time was the church and state absolutely bound together within the Catholic Church, right? Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church controlled basically everything, right? So they controlled things like art, right? The type of art that would go out, the type of art that would be seen, the artists that would gain popularity. The Catholic Church had control over that. So you saw a very standardized understanding and output of artistic ability and the types of art that were put out. Again, you would see were very Catholic, very standardized, right? Something that the Reformation did is, once the power of the Catholic Church was broken, right? And we begin to see that separation of the state and the church and the Catholics, you know, death grip upon the culture. You begin to see individual expressions start to rise and start to flourish, right? So new artists are all of a sudden coming up, and you're seeing new types of art, you know, kind of springing out of the ashes. And it's no longer this standardized thing. It's this individual thing where people are expressing themselves within art a lot differently. You start to see that shift, a lot through the Renaissance period, right? But, mm-hmm. but people don't just credit the Renaissance period with that. They look at the Reformation and seeing like the fire that the Renaissance period brought to culture, the embers were started with the Reformation, mm. right? So we see this individual expression now coming out and finally being free because it's no longer bound by the Catholic Church. The same thing with reading, you know, with the rise of the printing press. We're looking at Gutenberg, who was a Christian. He was someone who utilized the press that he made, the printing press, to get these resources out here, right? And ultimately that is kind of one of the main things that jump-started the Reformation, was that these 95 theses that Martin Luther nailed on the door, someone got a hold of them and they're like, all right, we're going to put this on the photocopy, hit 100 and go print, right? And it started being disseminated across the people. So the rise of the Gutenberg printing press, right, really did begin to then increase the people's ability not only to put out their own products, mm-hmm. right? Much like Martin Luther did, the Catholic Church was no longer the only one that had the authority to put out literature, but now the Protestants can do it. And now it's being printed in people's own languages, right? So literacy goes up because now I have a reason. If I'm a, you know, a 1500, peasant, that's working on the farm, I now have a reason to learn how to read. I now have a reason to see that my children know how to read because I have things in my own language now, mm-hmm. right? And that started with the Reformation. Yeah. Once that power of the Catholic Church was broken, it really created a culture and an environment now where all of these things are starting to spread and pop up because the Catholic Church is no longer in charge of it. So I don't think people understand how a lot of the things that we take for granted today, the Reformation really was one of the catalysts, not the only catalyst, but one of the main catalysts that started this period of enlightenment kind of within culture.
Yeah, there was another, to piggyback off what you said, there's another thing too that the Reformation did in society, and it's really give more weight and measure to the lay folk. At the time, the priests, the bishops, the archbishops, the clergy were like the bigwigs in charge, and everybody else was chump change. Mm-hmm. It was the have and the have nots.
Yeah.
What the Reformation did and what Martin Luther starts to do through, basically he starts to undergoad the Catholic Church in theological arguments. He doesn't do it through other ways and means, although that does happen from time to time, but he does it through theological arguments.
Yeah.
So a lot of people would say stuff about the Catholic Church like, oh, well, they're greedy, or oh, well, this, or oh, well, that. What Luther was really doing is taking a theological argument and applying it to what he wanted reform to happen in the church. And one of the things that he really spurred on was this gaping hole between official theology of the Catholic Church and the lay people. Mm-hmm. And that divide that happened, and not only the divide, but also the way in which lay people are talked about.
Yeah.
Like if you were a lay person back in 1400s, 1500s, you know, continental Europe, you're most likely in a peasant state, mm-hmm. or depending upon where you're at. Actually, Martin Luther's dad was a copper miner And he became someone who started to engage in business and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. it depended too on where you were born and what time period and even what country and what availability looked like as far as different occupations. But like most people were peasants, were farmers. And to be a farmer, you didn't matter. Yeah. There are no people back in the pre-Reformation era that are going to say, that are going to use the language of the lay people are made in the image of God. There is going to be no language back then saying that, because there is such an emphasis on the clergy, the priest. There's such an emphasis on the lay people, or not the lay people, the clergy, that the lay people just get forgotten. Yeah. And what Martin Luther really puts forth is that there is no difference. There is no Jew or Greek. Right. Like he starts to take that language of Paul. There is no slave or free, right? Yep. And he starts to apply it in the fact that there is no clergy or peasant, right? You are all made in the image of God, and you all have dignity, value, and worth. There is no separation there. Mm-hmm. So that's what he starts to undergo as well, too, that happens and works out in society, and it starts to grow and grow more to where we have it now today as well too. So
And that had an effect politically, right? It was in what did my notes say here? It was 1534, English Parliament passed the English Act of Supremacy. What that did was that made King Charles the head of the English Church, right? Now on the surface, people might say, oh, well, that just increased the bonds of church and state. In actuality, what that did was it broke the power of Rome, the Pope's seat, from being the head and rule of authority, both religiously and politically. And what it began to do then is it began to secularize the political side and keep the church, right? So now you have political effect of the Reformation, and that it truly shattered the power that the Pope had, both over the church as well over the state, right? So then you start to see individual states, right? You see much more of a less centralized power dynamic with the church, and it begins to be spread out more, right? And you see a healthier, much more democratic understanding of politics versus the theocratic structure that was there, right? So the Reformation affected politics as well. People began to look at the Catholic Church and said, you know what? We don't want them as head of our politics. Look at all the corruption that has been here religiously.
Yeah,
we don't want them anywhere near our laws, right? And the society and the culture was actually better for it.
Yeah, there's two things that that actually in my research as well too. You actually had a court for priests, and then a court for other people. So the church ran a court for priests. So if a priest killed,
how do you think that went? It's like the mob having their own
innocent,
yeah, exactly.
Innocent. Yeah. One like when I went to jail, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Jack's like, do we have a vet court? I would like a vet court, please.
Your bail is a cent.
It's
like, oh, okay, here you go.
One Hail Mary and you're good.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference too, is when you separate out the clergy, like they are the end all be all to your society, and that their sins are not actually greater than your lay folks, people's sins. Yeah, there's a problem there.
Yeah, 100%.
So just a little add on there.
Oh, absolutely. The last thing that I have, and then I'll let you cap it off with anything you have, is we see the Reformation having a great effect on evangelism. And again, the Reformation isn't the only thing credited with this, but it is a large portion of the credit should be given to the Reformation for spurring on the age of exploration. And that once that Catholic Church, that centralized power was broken, and you began to have the rise of Protestantism within the culture, well, one of the key tenets of the Christian faith is to go into the world and make disciples. And we begin to see the rise of evangelism coming as a consequence of the Reformation, which means we're getting on boats and we're going out, right? We're going to the ends of the earth, telling people the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The Reformation truly did help begin that age of exploration, that desire to go out and find new things, right? And a large reason for that was the motivation of evangelism, right? Of course, it's not the only motivation, right? I'm not going to say Christopher Columbus, you know, did his thing because he wanted to evangelize people, right? Obviously, exploration for exploration's sake is a big motivator, right? But the Reformation truly was one of the sparks that lit that fire, that age of exploration, because now we have individuals that are wanting to take the gospel that they have come to understand to other nations and preach it to them. So the effects of the Reformation cannot be understated, cannot be overstated, right? Yeah, they can't be overstated, because it truly did change the cultural landscape in which it was in. And a lot of that we're seeing the benefits and seeing the effects of the Reformation even today.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff too, like that age of exploration you talked about, like the Catholics were doing that a little bit before that time, but you got to remember too, the Catholics were trying to evangelize and take over lands and colonize stuff as well.
Right.
Too.
So it was still politically motivated.
Yeah, that's where you had your syncretism still happen that way. But no, I like that part of it. Absolutely. And then the other part I was going to add to is just the, I think what we have to take out of to the Reformation is that I think some of us has this caricature that everywhere in Europe was like, it was like the Dark Ages. And I think there's a realism and just kind of like a being real with people, you know, when I do church history research and stuff like that, where there is probably places that are better off than other places during the Reformation. So
sure,
the fact that you mentioned England is probably one of the strongest places why they had Reformation is because they didn't have the greed and the what we call the concubine tax that the priests were doing, in which if you were a priest and you were supposed to be celibate,
it is what it sounds like, people.
You would pay a tax to have your girlfriend live with you. So they didn't have that. So actually, England is a very strong case for the fact that, okay, not everything was lost in the Reformation. Probably the worst place to be was Germany and the Netherlands, of what I can see. And also probably a little bit of northern Italy as well, too. As far as like greed, simony. Simony means you're paying Simon Magnus out of Acts, where he's trying to pay the apostles to gain the power of the Holy Spirit. Simony is a way in which you're paying for some sort of title or position. So a lot of the greed that we're seeing is actually happening in Germany and the Netherlands and in northern Italy, right around there. And so it makes sense that I think the Holy Spirit raised up Luther in that place is to combat against what was happening with greed and structural problems in the church. And we'll talk about the structural problems as well, too, in a later episode. But there's just a lot of stuff. So just because the Reformation happened and we're talking about some pretty big issues, I would say that I'm not going to characterize it across the board as saying that the whole of continental Europe is just garbage. Actually, the underpinning of your theological foundations is actually the garbage and the rot. And there's places that are taking advantage of that, like Germany, like the Netherlands, like northern Italy and stuff along those lines. And so that's something to keep in mind. The Reformation really starts to bring about a time and a way in which you start to see it's like challenging the authorities. Mm-hmm. It is a protest.
Yeah.
It is a protest against the powers that be.
Exactly.
Because the powers that be have completely gone wacko.
Yep.
When you have popes, even before the time of the Reformation, saying that they own the souls of every person in continental Europe, mm-hmm. you're dealing with an office that does not care for shepherding the souls of the lay people at that point.
Right.
You are dealing with an office and a papacy that cares completely about power and domination and making mm-hmm. sure that its way gets purported versus the Bible and what yes. the Bible says that we should do, what scripture says that we can do, not from our own interpretation, no, from the original sources of how we see that scripture being worked out. Unfortunately,
that's right.
by that young man who just thinks we're just making up stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I think that dude went to like a Pentecostal church, and that's why he was going
to
Holiness Pentecostal like church or something,
Saddleback church or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the Reformation. Praise the Lord for the Protestants, right? That the Lord used, flaws and all, to spark yeah. this thing that we call the Reformation. And thank the Lord for the effects that the Reformation has had on the culture, right? It made culture easier and better to live in, truly. It truly did, right? When you have the political and religious power all in one, reigning in terror over the people, it does not make for some very it doesn't make life very quality of yeah. living was not great,
yeah.
right? And praise the Lord that the gospel not only gives us spiritual health but also has physical and real world effects as well. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this series, Jack. I can't wait till next week. It's October. It's our podcast Disneyland, man. It's the best month. Reformation month is here, and I cannot wait to continue this series with you. So Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's view here, or not our view, but our stance on making the local church
central. Here we stand.
Yes.
We can do no other.
Making the local church central to the believer's life. Take that, Pope Dopey.
That's right.
You can follow us more, interact with us more, send us a DM, question, comment, concern on our mm-hmm. sociables. Yes,
that's right.
Those things. The metaverse, the Facebook, the yep. Instagram, the... what else should I say? The Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, and also the sociable formerly known as Twitter X. You can find us all on those sociables at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, mm-hmm. you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in our endeavors here.
That's right. If you appreciate the blatantly Protestant views that we have here on the Reformatory, you can give this episode a like and review. You can help get the podcast out to more people. We really appreciate that. You can head on over to YouTube and watch the Reformatory as well as listen to it. I will say the Instagrams are much better watched than just listened to. Context helps a lot with that for sure. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd greatly appreciate that. We've got shirts, people. I'm telling you, Reformation merch is on Amazon right now. Click the link in the description of this episode and get yourself some amazing swag and rep the Reformatory. Celebrate Reformation Month with us and celebrate hashtag Reject the Papacy Month, because we're all about that. Last but not least, you can follow suit of Manny. Manny the Mechanic. I'm going to call him Manny the Mechanic.
We would like to think that.
Yeah. We like to think that. Manny the Mechanic. And then I'm going to try this again. Durhitch. I know. I'm sorry if it's wrong. I know. You can follow their lead. Head on over to Patreon, also link in the description of this episode. You get exclusive content over there. You get bonus episodes. You get exclusive video content. I just dropped a reaction video on Mark Dever going off on our Presbyterian brothers and sisters at a Nine Marks conference. It was pretty funny. We just dropped that exclusively over on the Patreon. That's not going out in public at all. And if you head on over there for $5 a month, you too could become a patron supporter. If you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.